So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. The polls close at 4 o'clock Pacific time in Georgia, where two U.S. Senate seats are going to be decided after the votes are counted from today and the preceding days of the election in Georgia. The party control of the U.S. Senate is what's at stake. You'll be hearing plenty of details as the votes are being counted on All Things Considered with Nick Roman this afternoon at 4 o'clock right here on 89.3 KPCC. Right now, we turn our attention to legislation proposed by California State Senator Scott Wiener that would call for ending mandatory prison sentences for drug dealers. Legal experts say that this would align with the state's objectives over the last couple of decades to reduce the sentencing involved in drug crimes. Joining us to talk about the legislation is Dr. Mason Marks, assistant professor of law at Gonzaga University in Washington State. He focuses on health law and drug policy law. Dr. Marks, thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Larry.
So share with us what would happen instead of mandatory minimums in cases of drug dealers who are convicted. Would it just be at the judge's discretion as to what the sentence would be?
So I just want to clarify first, this doesn't only apply to drug dealers. This applies to a wide variety of nonviolent drug-related offenses. So it would include people who possess very small amounts of controlled substances for personal use, or who share or sell them or transport them. But I wouldn't characterize it as focusing solely on drug dealers.
But in California, though, I didn't know we had mandatory minimums for personal use possession of drugs. Is that true?
Oh, sure. Yeah. People can, right now with mandatory minimums, people can end up with pretty extended prison sentences, sometimes 20 years or more, for possessing controlled substances for personal use, or someone could be caught with someone else's prescription pain pills, even just a bottle of pills. There are stories where people have had maybe a couple dozen pain pills and been sentenced to prison for years, if not decades. And right now, under California law, the judge has no discretion to take a step back and look at the totality of the circumstances for any extenuating circumstances and to decide whether that person would be better served by probation as opposed to a prison term.
So what is the rationale for not separating then, so that those who are facing a mandatory minimum sentence for personal usage, these smaller quantities, versus people that are transporting and selling drugs, it's their job, separating those out as opposed to treating them the same with mandatory minimum sentencing?
Well, to address that, I first want to just take kind of a step back and try to understand how we got to this point. And to do that, we have to go back to the 1970s when Richard Nixon declared drug use public enemy number one and launched the U.S. war on drugs. And Congress passed the Controlled Substances Act in 1970. And through those actions, we put the U.S. Attorney General, the nation's top law enforcement officer, in charge of drug policy. So for the past 50 years, we've had law enforcement handling what is actually a public health problem, substance use. And that is the root of many, if not most, of the drug problems we face today. Law enforcement and prosecutors play an important role in society that I respect, everyone should respect. But because they lack training in public health, they're not medically or scientifically trained. By allowing them to set drug policy, we're using the wrong tools for the job, and it's due to this legacy that we have outdated, ineffective drug policies like mandatory minimum sentences and the three strikes rule.
Would you support then instead just decriminalizing the drug so that it is dealt as a strictly public health issue, not as a criminal matter?
Yeah, that is the direction that we should be headed. And we're seeing a large movement all over the country in places in California that have decriminalized certain plant-based drugs like Oakland and Santa Cruz. as well as Denver and Ann Arbor, Michigan. And then Oregon passed some historic statewide measures in November. Measure 110 decriminalizes all drugs. And there are people with an organization called Treatment First moving to take similar measures in Washington state. And there's a group called Decrim Nature Seattle, for example, that's attempting to decriminalize certain naturally occurring substances. So we're seeing this happen across the country. People are becoming frustrated with outdated, racially biased, ineffective drug policies. And we're really two decades behind the curve on this. Portugal decriminalized drugs in 2001 and took a public health oriented approach to substance use. We have two decades of data to look at from Portugal, and the evidence suggests that in most categories of drug use, lifetime drug use has decreased. So decriminalization is effective. Minimum mandatory minimum sentences and things like the three strikes rule, there's no evidence to suggest that they are effective. They likely only create more crime, because what they do is they tear families apart. They devastate communities of color. You end up oftentimes removing a parent or a breadwinner from a family. So children grow up without a mother or a father. They also cost taxpayers of California millions, if not billions, a year. It costs over $81,000 to incarcerate an inmate in California every year.
Hold that thought, Dr. Mason Marks, Assistant Professor of Law at Gonzaga University in Washington State. Also with us, Vice President of the Association of L.A. County Deputy District Attorneys, Eric Siddall. Thank you very much, Mr. Siddall, for joining us. How common is it for mandatory minimum sentences to come into play for personal use, possession of narcotics?
Never. I don't know what your guest was talking about, but that's actually not the accurate policy statement of the state of California. Ever since 2000 with Proposition 36, California's state policy has been to treat drug users for simple possession through treatment programs, not through the jail system. And in fact, the bill that we're talking about right now, SB 73, is really not talking about simple possession. It's talking about basically drug sales and possession for sales, things like that. So
this is what as you see it would apply to drug dealers pretty much exclusively.
Right. And again, I don't think we have an issue with the bill as an association, because I think it updates a lot of the laws and it updates some of the policies of the state. And again, we don't have a problem with the substance of the bill, but I don't want your listeners to be misinformed to believe that people who are drug users are placed into custody for decades. Three strikes does not apply to drug use. Everything we just heard over the past 10 minutes is really maybe is applicable in other states. But it's not actually applicable here in California. It has not been applicable here in California for the past two decades. We've actually had a pretty advanced and robust view of drug treatment. We've had drug courts operating for quite some time. So it's unfortunate that I think that we're getting this information, because it's really not accurate. And it kind of takes away from what we should be talking about, which are the merits of this bill, which, you know, I commend Senator Wiener for introducing. And
What is the potential downside? I understand you take no issue with the bill, but in leaving this to judges' discretion for sentencing for those who are trafficking in drugs, is there any downside to that from a prosecutor's standpoint?
I think the bill is sensible in that it allows the judges to use their discretion and look at the totality of the circumstances to make an informed decision about whether someone should go to prison or not go to prison. In fact, one of the things I like about this bill in particular is that it does make a carve out for drug dealers who basically use minors to help sell their drugs. It gives a carve out for those people and does make it or prohibit probation unless the judge, again, finds it in the interest of justice to allow for the defendant to be on probation. So it's a sensible bill. It updates our laws. It's consistent with two decades of California state policy. And it just makes sense.
We'll continue our conversation with Eric Siddall, who's vice president of the Association of L.A. County Deputy District Attorneys. Also with us, Dr. Mason Marks, assistant professor of law at Gonzaga University in Spokane, Washington. He focuses on health law and drug policy law. We're talking about State Senator Scott Wiener's bill, which would end mandatory prison sentences for drug crimes in any category. We're at 866-893-KPECC. I look forward to hearing your thoughts about the legislation. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. We're talking about State Senator Scott Wiener's bill, which would end mandatory minimum sentences for those who are convicted of drug crimes, if there's any violence involved in it, or the carve-out of using minors as part of drug distribution. They could still be subject to the mandatory minimums. The bill allows for that. So what do you think? What do you see as the pros and cons? We're at 866-893-KPECC. You can tweet at AirTalk, or you can post on the AirTalk Facebook page, and you can share your thoughts about this issue and where it stands. Chelsea writes on the page, I know this is only anecdotal, but my mother's had horrible issues with my sister using meth on her property on and off over the past 20 years. My mother calls the police. They show up and don't do anything because no one will prosecute because it's personal use. Consequently, my mother has had no help with this issue. That's Chelsea writing on the AirTalk page at kpecc.org. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Eric Siddall, vice president of the Association of L.A. County Deputy District Attorneys. What about going a step further than this legislation and decriminalizing nonviolent drug offenses, including drug trafficking? What is, in your view, is the downside of decriminalizing all of it?
I think that's a much larger discussion for another time. I'm not going to be arrogant enough to think that I can solve how we deal with drug problems in this country by suggesting that there's any silver bullet in terms of decriminalization. I think we need to focus in on what this particular bill does and the benefits that it has and why it's consistent with California state policy.
And what's your sense of the judge's perspective on this? Just based on the cases you've prosecuted that are drug related, have judges expressed any frustration about the mandatory minimum sentences coming into play and them not having the discretion to sentence at a lesser level than the minimum?
Generally not. I mean, I think there's always workarounds to mandatory minimums. Judges have a lot of discretion. They have a lot of power in the courtroom in terms of sentencing. So I haven't seen that much of a frustration. What really is at stake is there's not that many things that we make mandatory in the state. For example, even murders, there's a potential of probation, and it seems sensible to leave sentencing up to the judges at the time of sentencing.
All right. That's Eric Siddall, who's vice president of the Association of L.A. County Deputy District Attorneys. Dr. Mason Marks, assistant professor of law at Gonzaga University. Professor Marks, does this bill by Scott Wiener in California align with some of the other legislation around the country that are also looking at undoing the mandatory minimums that were passed during high crime eras in our history?
It does, except it's, you know, it's kind of late to the party. There are other states that have been doing this many years ago, and they've experienced a decrease in crime as a result. I do want to address these, you know, Eric's claim that I'm somehow spreading misinformation. We have to really look realistically at what prosecutors do. It is true that people can end up in prison for decades for personal use in California, because prosecutors, they basically trump up the charges against defendants. So we should talk to Eric about this, but you know, he wants to categorize people who are transporting a drug as a violent offender. And so if someone's transporting a drug for personal use, they could be treated as a drug trafficker. Or there are many situations in which law enforcement will send an undercover officer to solicit drugs from a person who does not sell drugs. These officers are often, you know, a very young and attractive individual that will manipulate the person to procure drugs for them. And then those people are subjected to harsh mandatory minimums. So it's not true that people can be subjected to these really, really harsh penalties in California, even though they're not, you know, part of it. They're nonviolent and they're not part of a gang or some larger criminal enterprise.
Eric Siddall, you want to respond to that?
You know, my point is this professor said that in California, simple drug possession could send you to prison. That's not true. There's nothing in the law that says that. The law is very specific. You have to prove to a jury that the drugs were for the purpose of selling the drugs, not just simple possession. Simple possession is a defense that is often used when people are found with drugs. And so if the jury believes it, then they don't go to prison. We've had a policy since Prop 36, since 2000, to treat simple possession as a nonviolent crime. And not only that, but more as a public health issue, consistent with what your speaker was just talking about. And that's just what the reality is. Now, what he's talking about, maybe an abuse by a particular individual, but that's a case by case basis, and that's a potential defense that the defendant can use, and also that the Court of Appeals can look at. So people are not the bottom line is the law is very clear.
I want to
go to prison for that.
I want to thank you both for being with us. From the Association of L.A. County Deputy District Attorneys, Eric Siddall, VP of the organization, and Assistant Professor of Law at Gonzaga University, Spokane, Washington, Dr. Mason Marks. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. So good to have you with us on this Tuesday. A reminder, all things considered, at 4 this afternoon, we'll have extensive coverage on Georgia's senatorial runoffs.